I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
They got the call at Timber Ridge Secondary School at about 1:20 in the afternoon. They said that right after they got that call, they activated and they were able to get there on the scene in about 2 minutes. So, Liz, they say when they got there, there was active gunfire. Those officers, Liz, they went inside. And then within minutes, they say they found the shooter dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. They also say that one teacher and five students between the ages of 12 and 13 years old were also found to be shot dead in that shooting. And they also say that before the suspect actually got to the school, Liz, they believe that the suspect killed their mother and brother at the family's home.
Yeah, tragedy all the way around. And there's something about this tragedy that is being ignored intentionally by the legacy and the left media. These children, a teacher, a parent, a brother, all shot to death, others injured, taking place in a Canadian province. The Canadian gun laws are significantly stricter and more critical, or I should say more centralized than what we have in this nation. But for the left, it's always going to be a rally around something like this. More gun laws. Now, again, this took place in Canada, but that does not stop them from shouting that. What is stopping them this time around, and I regret to tell you and put this right in your face, but you probably have already figured this out. The shooter was biologically one sex, but believed to be another sex in their mind, and they wanted to be called by their preferred pronouns. The Canadian sheriff that's overseeing this case had to admit that very point.
We're not hiding it. In fact, you're the first media to ask the question. I will say this. We identify the suspect as they chose to be identified in public and
Why?
In social media. I can say
Why?
That Jesse was born as a biological male who approximately, the information that I have, approximately 6 years ago began to transition to female and identified as female both socially and...
We're just going to call the shooter... a shooter, not point out the transgender issue. That could be at the very stake in the beginning of where this all began to go wrong. The sheriff admitted they'd been called to that same house where the shooter, the transgender, lived. They'd been called there numerous times, and they took numerous weapons out of the home at one point, but apparently got a petition, probably with the help of a judge who was very compliant and others, to send all the weapons back to the house. Now, we don't know if any of those same weapons were used at this point. This is similar to what they're trying to get passed in the USA, and that is a red flag law. If you've got something like this, is kind of someone's unstable and they got a stash of weapons, maybe you need to remove the weapons, protect them and others, even their own members of their family. If it's a legitimate reason, I say, yes, let's do that. But if you're calling in a red flag alert because you don't like the way the neighbor mows their grass, no. But in this case, it was obviously distress and mental illness involved. A child going through transitioning. And the Canadian police did not directly try to refer to this as a transgender shooting. It was just another shooting of innocent people, and the shooter is being identified other than by the name. They finally admit how he was born, and now he's transitioning, but they call him by his preferred pronoun and then say, we're just going to call him the shooter. Do you think that helps anyone? Do you think that gets to the root of the issue of what we've been pushing on our children? If you don't think you're in the proper sex, then we should get you mutilated and change things up. That will make your life better. We told you repeatedly how many children have gone through this gender mutilation or even the puberty blocking drugs and later realize, I'm still not happy. And in fact, then they might turn that against others. The shooting in Pennsylvania, in Tennessee, at that Christian school, that was the same situation. Someone that was going through transgender mutilation. Didn't make them happy, made them want to go back and kill people. But it's being ignored by the legacy media, and the leftists are suddenly, mum, no words of complaint and worries about get more gun laws. Now, of course, they'd be talking to Canada, which I pointed out to you already has tougher laws than we do in the USA. But where are all of these idiots that want to come rushing forward before a child or a victim is even buried and say, we need more gun laws? I will tell you this, I'm sure there's some in Canada that are saying the same thing. We're going to get into this in more detail later in this hour. You don't want to go anywhere. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA. Charging out of the gates like a bull as usual. Reminding you with Larry Connors, USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this hour with more information than you have right now. I promise you. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. And it's not like watching paint dry, I promise you. Watch the program on Newstalk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, and also everything goes up as a podcast later in case you miss it. Available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And you can register to have it sent direct to your email box every day so you don't miss a single program. Very simple. Go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. Give us the minimal information, and we share that information with no one. And we'll make sure you get all this information. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to be taking a closer look at some of how your dollars have been going to fraud, and no one's at the gate watching. Well, they're watching it go bye-bye your dollars. That's about it. And later this hour, we're all, of course, in this nation, I say all, many, fascinated and captivated by Savannah Guthrie's mother being kidnapped. She's a high-profile person. That makes her mother one. And I will remind you, we've got thousands missing in this nation on a daily basis. I'm going to raise something else right now. Might as well get right into it. Is this all because of the publicity of Savannah Guthrie that is getting all the attention, or because of her mother being at her age? And I sympathize with them, and I want to see something done to help them. But I wonder how many black children or mothers or parents are missing out there, and very little, if anything, is being done. Where's the left again crying out over this? That's going to lead us to our story behind the story today when another kidnapping, verified kidnapping in that case, led to the national meltdown and concern and fear. The story behind the story of the Lindbergh baby kidnapping in 1932, Charles Lindbergh's baby. The story behind the story yet to come. Back to Capitol Hill yesterday, Pam Bondi appearing in front of Congress, and they were grilling her on what she knows, what she doesn't know about various things. And of course, the Epstein files being part of it. She and Congressman Nadler got into it.
The president saying they indicted me twice. They sure did. They tried to impeach him twice. And you, Mr. Nadler, were one of the leads on the impeachment. I was on the other side. I lived that with you. During impeachment, you said the president conspired, sought foreign interference in the 2016 election. Robert Mueller found no evidence, none, of foreign interference in 2016. Have you apologized to President Trump?
No.
Have you apologized to President Trump, all of you who participated in those impeachment hearings against Donald Trump? You all should be apologizing. You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. You know, all they want to do, all the American people need to know this. They are talking about Epstein today. This has been around since the Obama administration. This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million. And Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history.
Now, some are saying she's just getting out some good sound bites that will play back for the MAGA crowd and others. But some MAGA members obviously don't think enough is being released. But it is a fact, the same files were in the hands of Obama. He never did anything about it. You cannot deny that. You cannot deny that Nadler was leaving the impeachment proceedings against Trump repeatedly. You can like or not like Pam Bondi, but what she said was an actual fact. Now, do we still have everything? I don't know. Will I stand beside her and say everything she said, she's 100% correct and I back her? I don't know. Only because I don't have enough information. Do you? Do you? Or do you think you do? Well, the New Jersey, I say New York Congressman Nadler, 12th District of New York, got back into a Pam Bondi.
You can let her filibuster all day long, but not on our watch. Not on our time. No way. And I told you about that, Attorney General, before you started.
You don't tell me.
No, I did tell you because we saw what you did in the Senate.
You're a lawyer. You're not even a lawyer.
Committee will be in order.
Time, and I should get back at least 45 seconds.
We will give you a few more seconds. I said that already.
45 seconds.
Okay.
45 seconds. She went on to say, Nadler, you're nothing but a washed-up attorney. I love it. I love it. But we're not done.
I want to take a moment to acknowledge the Epstein survivors who are here today. I'm a career prosecutor, and despite what the ranking member said, I have spent my entire career fighting for victims, and I will continue to do so. I am deeply sorry for what any victim has been through, especially as a result of that monster. If you have any information to share with law enforcement about anyone who has hurt you or abused you, the FBI is waiting to hear from you. I want you to know that any accusations of criminal wrongdoing will be taken seriously and investigated. The Department of Justice is committed to holding criminals accountable to the fullest extent of the law.
And that's a key point regarding the Epstein files that I stressed the other day. Do not forget the victims. The victims. There was one news report that pointed out that Nadler, New York congressman, age 78, appeared to doze off during the Bondi hearing opening. He wasn't really listening. He was kind of eyes are closed and kind of drifting off. I think I've been there. I think we all have. All signs that our economy is charging ahead, despite the negative claims. The CEO of Peabody Coal.
Mr. President, we stand here today representing the thousands of coal miners across the country to express our deep gratitude to you, sir, for the actions you've taken to support our industry. Your leadership and decisive actions have sent a powerful message. We have a president who, more than any other, deeply understands the importance of coal in supporting the future of this nation. Sir, you know what most people don't. The U.S. has more energy in its coal than any nation has in any single energy source. We have more energy than Russia has in its gas, and we have more energy than Saudi Arabia has in its oil. Yet before you, sir, presidents were afraid to allow coal to help keep electricity abundant and low cost. And Mr. President, that changed with you. We saw the impact of your wise policy in real time during the recent winter storm as temperatures plunged and demand surged. The coal plants you directed to keep open provided the stability and resilience that the grid needed. And today, thanks to your leadership, sir, we are working with your administration on the potential to build new coal-fueled power plants and having coal emerge as a source of rare earth elements and critical minerals that are essential for our national security and economic future.
The Peabody Energy CEO, and if Hillary Clinton had been elected as she wanted, all the coal mines would have been shuttered. We had a lot of people suffer during this recent onslaught of winter. Some very sick. Some dying in New York, Mondani, in your own city. And you wouldn't have had any way to help them. You didn't anyway. And you look at how the economy is going. Once again, the January jobs report that came out the other day, I want you to go to the economist Peter Sang-on of CNBC.
It was a blockbuster report. I was surprised. Sort of the meta story here has been that we've already gotten the pain on jobs, meaning 2.5 million deportations, federal layoffs, slower federal spending. The problem was that the drivers of jobs, so Fed cuts and reshoring, you know, Trump's talking about $4 trillion plus of incremental factory investment, those all take a long time. They can take years, in fact. Taiwan Semiconductor is taking 40 years on their factory out in Arizona. So I expected continuing sort of paper weakness. This was blockbuster.
It was. Way above the estimated. Rick Santelli does the financial reporting for CNBC, and he said, look at all these folks out there that have been yelling that Trump is going to be bad for the economy, going to destroy us with tariffs, everything else. Santelli says, wake up!
I'm going to say that nobody's going to rain on my parade, and these numbers are what they are. 50K. All these naysayers steeped in politics continue to be negative. That's okay. Because 50K says you've all been wrong. You keep from going in the water, even though it's very hot outside. I say all the investment gurus out there, jump in the markets in the U.S. because global GDP is going to take a big ramp up, and the U.S. is leading the way.
And he's talking about how we had the other day, this week, for the first time, the stock market, Dow Jones, going through the 50,000 mark. 50,000 mark for the first time. There'll be some fluctuation back and forth. You can bet on it. But all of that, again, points out that everything Trump is doing, one, by making us more energy independent, keeping our coal mines operating, creating more jobs, is all good for the economy. And it's even good for you leftists out there listening. I know you are. It's also good for you. Do you understand that? I probably think many of you don't. Coming up, my guest specifically dealing with the Canadian shooting. Sean Fleetwood wrote an excellent piece for The Federalist. And our story behind the story. All the concern about Savannah Guthrie's mother. The story behind the story is the kidnapping of Charles Lindbergh's baby. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck, my advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Bend, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, do you know I got it. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you come
just
home.
Just a little bit.
Hey, baby,
just a little
when
bit.
When they're down low,
just a little bit.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. As I was telling you earlier, the Canadian gun laws are stricter than the U.S. gun laws. But with this shooting that took place the other day in Canada, leaving several children dead and wounded, I've not heard the left and the legacy, even in our nation, which normally they cry out anyway, more gun control laws are silent this time. But more importantly, they're not admitting something else. Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist joining us. Sean, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, your headline today says it all. Anti-truth media bend over backwards to call Canadian trans shooter by his preferred pronouns. Go ahead.
Sure. So if you recall, last year, Gallup polling came out with this their annual survey. And what they found was that Americans trust in the corporate media to report the news accurately and fairly as at the lowest level in recorded history. And I think that this story about the Canadian shooting encapsulates that perfectly. Because if you go to almost every single major corporate media outlet that has reported on the details of this shooting, they will tell you that the 18-year-old suspect, a male that identifies as a female, a so-called transgender person, is a female. Or they will refer to him with female pronouns like her and she and herself. And so if you read nothing but the headlines or the opening graphs of these articles, you would come away with the impression that this shooter was a female, when in reality, it is, in fact, a male.
And what's hidden behind that is how much did puberty blockers and our transgender surgery contribute to the state of mind that led to this disaster?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the reporting that's come out since has found that this individual across various social media platforms like YouTube and Reddit had expressed, support, if not, of course, affiliation with transgender ideology and posting the trans flag and stuff like that. We also know, according to some reporting, like outlets like the New York Post, that the suspect's mother had affirmed her son's trans delusions. Even going as far as posting the hashtag, protect trans kids. And unfortunately, she was killed by her son as well as the suspect's stepbrother, I believe. And I think what this shows is, and I'm not victim blaming or anything like that or saying she deserved it or anything, but it shows the dangers of what happens when you affirm this, what is very clearly a spiritual and mental illness, and what society has done through various institutions and various parenting, if you can even call it that, has encouraged these delusions to the point now where these individuals, like the Canadian shooting suspect, like the shooter at the Nashville church school several years ago, or the one in Minnesota last year, is that it is culminating in this almost demonic force that is occupying these individuals that is driving them to commit these heinous and tragic crimes.
You've got us standing in front of several doors I want to go through. Let's begin with this one. Identifying the shooter as a female. I'm looking at a piece from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation saying the suspect identified as her. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation calling the killer a woman, herself. And yet when questioned in a news conference, the sheriff said, well, we're not trying to hide it. We're just going by what she preferred her pronouns, she preferred, and we're also just calling the shooter a shooter.
Yeah, that's the insane part about this is I saw the same clip that you're referring to. Here you have the people who are supposed to be protecting the innocent civilians of society when willing to bend over backwards. They are so committed to this destructive ideology that they are willing to bend over backwards to accommodate the delusions of an individual who just massacred innocent people and shot up innocent people and are going to leave the survivors with horrific trauma that they'll have to deal with for the rest of their lives. But you're willing to go that far to accommodate the wants and needs of someone who clearly has, mental and emotional and spiritual problems. I mean, that is a major concern, and it's not exclusive to the Canadian police or government. It is very much present here in the United States and other Western countries and governments. And it's an ideology that has to be defeated. And fortunately, I think we're starting to see that. We had that case out of New York over the past couple of days where a young girl who I believe was 16 at the time had so-called gender-affirming mastectomy removal surgery performed on her. Yeah. And she was awarded a I believe it was a $2 million settlement for that harmful procedure. So hopefully I think we're starting to see the tide turn here on this, but I think we have a long way to go in really defeating this horrific ideology that has permeated so many aspects of our society.
Well, one other door you opened just then is that the only medical society of any standing that has come out and said this should not be done, at least until the child is 19, is the American Academy of Plastic Surgeons, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and others, they say nothing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I would expect nothing less, especially when you look at the American Academy of Pediatrics. I mean, when RFK Jr. earlier last year had come out revising some of the guidance involving COVID shots for young kids, they said, oh, we're going to ignore the CDC's guidance. We're just going to continue with our own, which is to give these, experimental mRNA shots to these minors, without necessarily considering the long-term consequences of what that might mean for them and their health. So I'd expect nothing less of that. And what we saw throughout COVID was that many of these so-called medical institutions that we had trusted for so many years to have our health in their best interests and society's health in best interests actually don't. That they're just complete shills for, I guess you could call the spirit of the age, as the Blazes Steve Dace like to call it, this just destructive leftist pagan force that has corrupted so many of our institutions that we were supposed to be able to trust, but are just now mouthpieces for that very ideology.
All right, let's move entirely away from the transgender, mutilation, everything else. Let's say there is an energy drink. I'm not going to put any particular name out there. Let's say there's an energy drink that a lot of people are drinking, and it's found out that within hours of drinking that energy drink, they suddenly go out and run over people in their cars. They start pulling knives on them. They look for a commonality, and it goes back to that energy drink. Do we think then the medical community would say, this stuff needs to be stopped?
Yeah, I would hope so. I would, first ask the question, what kinds of ties to the people in that the company who made that drink have with these various agencies and healthcare organizations? Is there any type of incestuous relationship there, right? We saw people like Scott Gottlieb, who is, kind of leading the charge when it came to COVID vaccines. I think he worked at the FDA. He was the head at the FDA. And then where is he now? He's a board member at Pfizer. So, you have
Those alliances are there, but if they're not accepting the possibility, just the possibility that the puberty blocker is messing with these children when they're young and going to double mastectomy or whatever else, that they don't think that that would affect that person going forward in life, like the energy drink I was talking about, they would say, we need to reevaluate and back away. And every medical group probably would line up behind that, but not this issue.
No, definitely not. I would hope, you know, when it comes to that energy drink thing, that that these types of organizations would be in the public's best interest. But as we're seeing with this trans issue, it's not. And I think that it kind of encapsulates the insanity of this leftist, and I call it again, a pagan religion. Mm-hmm. Because the ultimate goal of so much of the modern Marxist left is to deprive you of the things that God gave to us to have a joyful and fulfilled life, deprive you of God and religion, deprive you of family, faith, community, friends, and make you this miserable person that is encapsulated to the state, to the point where the state becomes your God. And they have these various talismans, with transgenderism being one of them. And I think that that's what you're seeing here.
And my heart actually goes out to the person caught in such a trap that they don't know if they're male or female. But then they are being wooed.
Absolutely.
They're being wooed and moved around until they're totally confused. So this shooter, he was already messed up in many ways, and this did not help. And then, of course, then goes out and kills 8, 9 others, leaving at least 25 injured, including, as you pointed out, his mother. But the point being that they also deserve compassion and so forth. But now they're just labeling them as a killer and just ignoring, oh yeah, that was a transgender. Don't worry about it. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think you really raise a really great point. And this kind of conflation between so-called kindness, compassion, with love. And love is not always necessarily kind, right? Like, if you're a parent and your kid wants dessert after dinner every night, you're not going to give it to them, not because you don't love them, but because you know that's not healthy for them and then that's not good for their long-term interest. And it's very similar situation with the trans thing. It's absolutely not a healthy thing for children or anyone for that matter. But just because you don't affirm these delusions, that doesn't mean that you don't love them. And I think that what society has done through various institutions, unfortunately, is conflate these two and has endorsed this trans ideology to the point now where it's harming innocent people.
Absolutely. Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist. Make sure you follow him. Sean, thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks so much, Larry. God bless.
You bet. God bless. Coming up, our story behind the story. The Lindbergh baby kidnapping.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
New York City, 1927. As the world watches, Charles Lindbergh readies himself for a feat never before achieved by mankind. A solo flight from the United States to Europe. Lindbergh's whole life has led to this moment. Dropping out of college to become a stunt pilot, and then enlisting in the U.S. Army to join flight school. He opts for a single-engine plane without a parachute or radio so he can store more gasoline. And the newspapers call him the Flying Fool. Nevertheless, Lindbergh takes off from Roosevelt Field in Long Island, beginning his long voyage to Paris. Almost 34 hours later, Lindbergh safely touches down in Paris to a crowd of 100,000 adoring fans.
That is an amazing feat. And keep in mind, when it was taking place, a solo flight from New York to Paris. He called it the Spirit of St. Louis. He had some St. Louis backers with him, and that's why for a while, out the airport, and I think it still exists. I haven't been out there for a while, but a mock-up of his plane is displayed, hung from the ceiling. This was the first solo, non-transstop Atlantic flight. He began it May 20th, 1927, and on the 21st of 1927, 3,610 miles later, 33 and a half hours later, the 25-year-old landed in Paris. It was an Orion M2 monoplane, designed for long-distance solo flight, but no one had ever tested it to that point. And if he went down, there was no one going to be available to rescue him. So it was a time of victory and celebration and recognition as well deserved. Charles Lindbergh later ended up marrying a sweetheart. But to avoid a lot of the publicity that was around them, they decided to move to an area of New Jersey. And they had a baby. And there is again another part of the story behind the story.
March 1st, 1932, 9 p.m. Charles Lindbergh, his wife, and their wily terrier, Wagush, relax in their home as 20-month-old Charles Jr. sleeps soundly in the nursery upstairs. But outside the safety of the Lindbergh home, in the darkness of their 600-acre estate, lurks a clandestine figure. He uses a makeshift ladder to enter the infant's second-floor nursery. Snatches Charles Jr. from his crib. Unseen by the baby's parents, the house workers, and the family dog, the mysterious kidnapper vanishes into the cold, damp night with a 20-month-old son of America's biggest celebrity. He leaves behind only traces of mud, a broken ladder, and a handwritten ransom note demanding $50,000 in exchange for the safe return of Charles Jr.
That brief handwritten ransom note had numerous spelling and grammar irregularities. It began, "Dear sir, have $50,000 with the dollar mark after the 50,000, ready, R-E-D-Y, $25,000, in other words, $25,000 in $20 bills." Just went on and so forth. Said, "After 2 to 4 days, we will inform you where you are to deliver the money. We warn you for making anything public or notifying the police. The child is in gut care," meant obviously to be good care. "Indications for all letters are signature and three holes punched into the paper to verify that's the same people." Later, the examination by professionals, they did agree. It was written by the same person, written basic in Old English. They believe the writer must have been foreign, had spent little time in our country. Then they came up with a sketch artist to make a portrait of a man they believed to be the kidnapper. Now, where'd they come up with that? Let's back up to March 1, 1932, 9 o'clock that night. The Lindbergh's nurse, Betty Gow, found the 20-month-old Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr. was not with his mother. She had just come out of the bath. She alerted Charles Lindbergh, who immediately went in the child's room and found that ransom note in the windowsill. He took a gun, went around the house and ground searching with the family butler. They found impressions in the ground under the window of the baby's room, pieces of a wooden ladder, and a baby's blanket. They contacted the Hopewell Police Department. Lindbergh contacted his attorney and his friend and eventually New Jersey police. It was March 2nd, 1932, that FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover contacted the New Jersey Police Department and said they would use the FBI for any resources they needed. They did not have any federal jurisdiction at that time until May 13, 1932, when the president declared the FBI would be at the disposal of the New Jersey Police Department so the FBI could coordinate, conduct the investigation. There was a $25,000 reward offered at that time, equivalent to more than $600,000, $800,000 in today's money. And that's where a guy came forward that said he had had a discussion with someone he believed that might be connected to the case. And he's the one who came up with a sketch that they used and put out. Turned out it was somebody just faking it, hoping to get some money, and he had nothing to do with it. And then officially in October 1933, FDR announced the FBI would take over all jurisdiction. You can imagine this case sweeping through the nation at that time. You didn't have the internet. You didn't have all the vast papers and all the TV coverage and everything. But everything you put up, it had baby Lindbergh in it. It was bought and sold quickly and read. And they couldn't wait for the next edition. That is kind of where we are with the Guthrie case right now. Savannah Guthrie's mother. We have a lot of missing people in this nation. Why so much attention on her? Well, her mother being a prime anchor and also a lot of money involved and her age and circumstances around it. All of that makes sense. It does not satisfy people who have their loved ones missing and they don't think they're getting any help from the police. It's not meant to be a disparity, but that's what it is. If the headline in tomorrow's paper mentioned James Doe of such and such street is missing and has been for a month, we need to find him, very few people would pay attention. So the Guthrie case of today is very similar to what they were going through 80 plus years ago with the kidnapping of baby Lindbergh. Listen to how the news of the nation were handling it.
The nation is transfixed as the manhunt for the Lindbergh kidnapper begins. An egregious act immediately dubbed the crime of the century. The sweeping media coverage informs the kidnapper of his stolen assets' value. Just 3 days after the crime is committed, the Lindberghs receive a new ransom note, wrought with misspellings, demanding an increased sum to be paid of $70,000 or an inflation-adjusted $1 million. eager to help, retired school principal Dr. John Condon volunteers to act as the intermediary between the family and the kidnapper. The kidnapper and Lindbergh agree, and Dr. Condon becomes the conduit. 1 month and 12 ransom notes after the kidnapping, Condon finally sets up a meeting to exchange the money for information detailing the child's whereabouts. The kidnapper identifies himself as John and does little to hide his appearance from Condon. Dr. Condon hands over a bag of bills and gold notes and receives a letter in return, pointing authorities to a boat named Nelly near Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. The stranger departs, but Condon remains confident that he could identify the kidnapper if he were to ever see him again. But the Nelly is never found near Martha's Vineyard, and neither is the baby. 1 year after the kidnapping, Charles Jr. is found dead and decomposed, less than 5 miles from the Lindbergh home. Skull bruises indicate death by trauma to the head. A family and a nation mourns, but becomes resolved to locating the murderer and bringing him to justice.
So the search was on for a man that this teacher who had come forward to help the Lindbergh family said, I could identify. He helped create the sketch that was being circulated. A man is caught. But is it the right man? There is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
The evidence is damning. Hauptmann perfectly matches Dr. Condon's description of the kidnapper, and his recent transactions are dominated by $10 and $20 gold certificates. Gold certificates are discovered in his home and in his pockets, and writing samples match the illegible and broken English content of the ransom letter. Finally, after 2 years, the Lindbergh kidnapper and murderer of 20-month-old Charles Jr. is caught.
In 1935, Bruno Richard Hauptmann was convicted of one count of murder in the first degree. The following year, he was executed. Thanks to the combined efforts of local, state, and federal investigators, the crime of the century had been cracked, providing an answer to one of history's greatest mysteries.
And that is, that combination of those bites comes from the History Channel and helping me tell the story and relate it to you. So Hauptmann was convicted 13th of Feb, 1935, immediately sentenced to death. Got argued to the state's highest court. And additionally, the New Jersey governor secretly visited Hauptmann in his cell because he had doubts. Is this the guy? In fact, the New Jersey governor believed there's no way one man could have carried this out. They were doing what forensic evidence they had at that time. And numerous books have been presented, alternative theories as to how Hauptmann was actually innocent, how he had very weak counsel supporting him. Basically, no one wanted to be the guy to keep the guy that allegedly kidnapped and killed the Lindbergh baby off death row or even alive. A fingerprint expert had applied during that time of the investigation a rare silver nitrate fingerprint process to the ladder that had been hand-constructed, did not find Hauptmann's fingerprints, even in places where the ladder would have had to been touched. Officials refused to consider his findings, so they later washed it of all fingerprints. Jim Fisher, a former FBI agent, professor in Pennsylvania, has written two books on it, basically summarizing that a lot of the cases have been revised. His wife, Anna Haltman sued the state of New Jersey for the unjust execution of her husband, all dismissed due to prosecutorial immunity and because the statute of limitations had run out. She continued fighting to clear his name until her death at age 95. That was in 1994. Haltman had been offered a large amount of money from the Hearst newspaper for a confession. He wouldn't give it. He refused a last-minute offer to commute the sentence from the death penalty to life without parole in exchange for a confession. Again, he refused it. So he was executed in the electric chair April 3rd, 1936, and for the majority of the nation, it was done. The nightmare was over. Did not have a good ending in the sense that baby Lindbergh not just kidnapped, but killed, found within 5 miles of his house. And for a lot of folks, they still had questions. He was found guilty, been executed, but did we get the right guy? Then you have others saying that Haltman was just part of a group. Or that maybe he just witnessed some of it. He had nothing really to do with it. For many of those questions still remain. For many, it is still a national mystery. The execution of Haltman did not change that. Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr., the 20-month-old son of Colonel Charles Lindbergh, taken from his home March 1, 1932, found later dead 5 miles from his home. Tomorrow's story behind the story, when news operations should choose to censor themselves. And I've got some perfect examples. That's tomorrow's story behind the story. Our second hour is still to come. And do not forget our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.